Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage. Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
We are diving back into the roller coaster that is the Karen Reed case as her trial is veering ever closer as of right now. About a week out is really what we are looking at. The documentary that came out just the other day on HBO Max and Investigation Discovery, Body in the Snow, the trial of Karen Reed, really goes through in great detail and is, I'm going to be honest here, I think fairly unbiased. I was really thinking this thing was going to be kind of biased going in on her side, but I think that actually more damage has been done on her side after watching at least the four parts of this. Joining me to discuss and to break all this down, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. We're going to go through a lot of clips here from this documentary, specifically Karen and some of her contradictions, some of her just statements, her mindset at various stages. Before we do that, though, Siobhan, overall, I know you've seen this. What's been your reaction so far?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, she says in the beginning of the documentary, her reason for doing this was to give her version of the story. Or I think she used the terms, this is my testimony. Mm-hmm. And so I expected that it would be very much colored in her favor. And it really wasn't. They had so many great guests participating. And it really seemed like they were trying to give us all the information in a very clear manner. So I felt it was very fair.
Good producers. It's the ones that do Unsolved Mysteries, the modern day version of Unsolved Mysteries today. And when I first heard it, I heard, oh, it's going to be really slanted towards Karen. I'm like, they don't really produce things like that, that are super slanted. So it's turning out to be very, very compelling. Let's just start here at the beginning with some of these clips, because, again, there's a lot of them. I've been just kind of going through this and blowing my mind a little bit as you when you have some of these pieces in context together. You have so many pieces that she says one thing here that she's very absolute on, and then one thing here that completely contradicts it that she's also very absolute on. And we're gonna see some of that stuff, but let's just kind of begin. This is how she presents herself right off the bat. This is, again, from the HBO or the Max and Investigation Discovery documentary, Body in the Snow, The Trial of Karen Reed. Let's watch this and we'll talk on the other side.
My name is Karen Reed. I'm 44 years old. I've never been married. I don't have any kids. I don't, like, envision myself having, like, the white picket fence bullshit. I've worked in a financial services company for decades. I was a lecturer at Bentley University. Now I'm being charged with murdering a Boston police officer. I could face life for second degree, life in prison. So as we approach trial, I'm moving to a hotel in Boston. It's weird, like, you're used to working all day and having a life and a career and a routine, and then you don't have it, and now you're fighting for your life. I still can't believe what's happening to me.
I mean, I'm not asking for a complete psychological breakdown of Karen Reed, because we're seeing her in so many different contexts and in just little snippets of life here and there. And obviously this was filmed during the first trial. The camera crew was following them around through all of that. So this is before they even knew it was going to be a hung jury and a retrial and all of that. But this is a candor that she had at that moment in time during the first trial. What do you make of just, you know, her initial statements and just her introduction to the audience of who she is when this woman is fighting for her life?
Yeah, she really is presenting herself very clearly as a non-traditional woman and somebody with a very strong personality and strong opinions, and wants to show herself as being very accomplished and intelligent and non, what did she say? No, not the traditional picket fence bullshit or whatever. Yeah. I mean, and that's an interesting choice for how you would describe yourself. But yeah, you can make a little bit of meaning about that, about who she is.
Yeah, and I, like, okay, cool, that you're who you are, and there's nothing wrong with being an independent woman, and you're not married, you don't have kids. I see absolutely nothing wrong with any of that. It's her life and the path she wanted to go down. It sounds like she's, you know, been pretty happy and pretty, you know, determined with it, and has found fulfillment in that. We obviously, you know, the case isn't judged on, you know, her happiness and just what life has gone like, but that's how she's presented herself right off the bat, as you try to get to understand who this woman is. And then I think for context here, we need to kind of see where she thought the relationship was with John O'Keefe right before his tragic death. Let's take a look at how she describes that.
I met John in February of 2004 through a friend of his from high school. And we maybe dated another couple weeks after that. And then I went to work that spring in Ireland just temporarily. But because of that, I stopped seeing him and I just lost touch. Then at the beginning of the pandemic, I'd been home working remote for about 2 weeks and was going stir crazy. And I hadn't been on Facebook in years.
Johnny's a single dad and, you know, everything's going in lockdown. So from what I understand, he put out a Facebook message to several ex-girlfriends and she was the one to reply.
I didn't answer right away because it was like a picture of him with a bunch of kids. I thought, oh, he looks like he's married and he's got kids. And then I ended up reaching back out to him and then I learned the backstory of where these kids came from. I knew John for only 2 years, but I knew a lot about him. He loved life. There were things he liked to do. There were things that made him laugh and smile and songs he liked and Red Sox games he liked to tune into. And John loved his sister more than anyone or anything. And he loved those kids. I didn't really aspire to have kids, but I cared about John's kids.
Prior to Johnny's death, everybody in Johnny's orbit liked Karen. There wasn't a single person that said, you know, I don't think he should be dating her. Everything we could see looked like a happy relationship.
Yeah, but that's not always obviously what is seen on the outside, but I don't get any red flags here. I mean, I don't feel like there's anything here where she's, you know, maliciously, you know, plotting his death or anything, you know, of that nature. I mean, what do you take out of it?
Yeah, I agree with you. It seems to be a very normal kind of response. The thing that does, you know, come to my mind is how which I'm sure you'll bring up, the phone calls the night mm-hmm. of his death, that there's certainly another side to her. And what we heard from other people, another side to the relationship. There was a lot going on that, you know, eventually comes out.
Yeah, there's a lot of sides to the relationship that eventually come out. We'll get to the phone calls and all of that. There's also the area where there's, you know, almost, you know, another side to Karen Reed as well. I mean, we just heard her talk about, you know, her 2-year relationship with John. I found it interesting how she said it was only a 2-year relationship. Like, it's a good chunk of time, you know, for a it's not compared to like a 10-year marriage or a 20-year marriage, but I mean, 2 years is not necessarily it's not a drop in the bucket. This is another piece that came out. And I found it interesting. I want to just kind of contrast the two, because you have that in one breath and then you have this in the next, very much, you know, downplaying the emotional value of the relationship to her. Let's take a look.
It's a woman accused of killing her boyfriend and texts are being read about an affair.
I don't even like to use the phrase having an affair because I wasn't married. That's one aspect of this that frustrates me is, you know, Karen was flirting with somebody else or attempting to hook up with someone else. But I mean, John and I were just dating, and we're middle age, and we didn't pay a mortgage together, we didn't have life insurance together, we didn't have kids together.
I in turn said, nope, you initiated this.
It was clear that Karen was the one who initiated the text relationship with Higgins, but it wasn't like Higgins ever said, hey, you know, we can't do this, you know, I know John, that would be inappropriate. He was sort of playing along, but cautiously playing along.
You know, I'm not proud of these text messages. It is what it is. I'll take responsibility for them.
First of all, I was never really around Brian Higgins when we weren't in a bar room. And so my judgment might have been a little precarious. But Brian Higgins and I had a kind of a flirtatious back and forth for about 2 weeks, maybe a little less.
Again, nothing where I look at this, and I know the prosecution tried to present it as, oh, this could be motive for Brian Higgins wanting to kill John O'Keefe, which, again, I think is completely absurd. And again, I don't see any reason for any violence with any of this. My point of just pointing it out is, okay, they weren't in the best of a place in a relationship at that moment in time.
No, and yeah, it was this a committed relationship? Sometimes she describes it as if they were very committed and she was involved with his kids and that parent kind of role. And then other times, well, we were just dating, you know, not that big of a deal. So why did it matter if I was initiating something with this other guy? It doesn't line up. It's very inconsistent.
It seems to be that she wants to kind of have, I mean, it's the old stupid saying, have her cake and eat it too. But I mean, really what it's more a sign of is just, I want to have everything my way. and if I want this, I can have that because I can rationalize my behavior because we're just dating. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm at the same age range as her and John O'Keefe. And yeah, I'm a single adult too, and I'm dating. But when you're in a relationship with somebody, you know, after just usually a short period of time of like, okay, I'm going to focus here. And if you both verbalize that and you're interacting with each other's kids, usually at the kid point for sure, it's, you know, no, I'm not going to go flirt with other people.
Exactly.
It's just not, you just don't. I mean, even before that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in a new relationship now and it's great. And it's new. We haven't met each other's kids at this moment, but it's like, okay, I'm not out there searching anymore and, you know, giving that a shot. But yeah, it's, I find it all, is she trying to distance herself from John O'Keefe at this time? Because it's been, you know, a couple years into this and yes, she's been persecuted and there's been persecution back and forth in this whole damn thing. But is this her also in a way, you know, somewhat just trying to distance herself from how close she really was, maybe even mentally for herself, for the emotional pain of what this is, and then how she's able to portray it outwardly, or maybe just is having a difficulty doing these days?
Yeah. Yeah, that's certainly possible. That's even quite likely. The other thing that popped into my head as a possibility, you may have ever dated somebody who likes to play games and likes to, you know, make you jealous or try to make you jealous by flirting with other people when they're angry at you. You know, that's something that you'll see couples sometimes in a really destructive relationship go back and forth with flirting with other people solely for the purpose of upsetting their partner or just for attention seeking. So that kind of thing could have been going on too.
Which could be, very easily what is happening in this. Again, nothing about murder, just kind of the tactics of different people and how they work through relationships.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.